We've been hearing a great deal in recent days about the Sunni-Shia divide in Iraq. Iraq is also home to a Christian community, which has its origins in the earliest days of Christianity. And about 20 miles outside of the city of Mosul is the Christian village of Al-Kosh. It has taken in about 2,000 residents of Mosul who fled after the militant Islamist group ISIS captured that city. NPR's Leila Fadel paid a visit.
First, we meet with members of the committee that oversees displaced people in Al-Kosh, a village of low stone homes and churches at the foot of a mountain. The committee was formed in 2008 when Christians were fleeing Mosul after a spate of killings that targeted and terrified the community. More than 260 families fled here. In 2010, it happened again. And again, Christian families came here or sought safe haven in other Christian villages in the Nineveh Plains. But this time, after ISIS took over Mosul and vowed to destroy shrines and monuments that go against their extreme version of Islam, the bulk of the displaced that came here are Muslim. Only about 40 Christian families arrived in Al-Kosh. It is a sign of just how few Christians are left in Iraq and in Mosul in particular. We leave the committee that works out of the Chaldean Catholic Church in the village and head to the home of Abu Yunus, a dental technician who left Mosul when ISIS swept in.
I born in Mosul.
He asked we identify him with a nickname for his safety. Abu Yunus first rented this home in 2008, when Christians were being targeted and killed. He returned to Mosul, but kept the house in Al-Kosh just in case. When ISIS took the city, he and several other families fled here again. The village is secured by the Kurdish Peshmerga forces. But Abu Yunus wants to go back to his city and to his life. He's already returned for brief visits since ISIS arrived. Up until this point, it's fine, he says. His sister walked in the street with her hair uncovered and was greeted cordially by one of the gunmen. And although there are problems with water and electricity, so far he doesn't feel targeted because he's Christian. That is the fear, that under ISIS, which is known for killing people who don't agree with its extreme beliefs, non-Muslims and Muslims of other sects or interpretations won't survive. Abu Yunus says one Christian family that was here with us went back and nothing's happened to them. I'm waiting for things to become clear. He says the gunmen are from different groups and he's not sure which group is in control. I'm used to a hard life, he says. If there's a war with guns and killing, I won't leave. But if there is a war on personal freedoms, if my daughters and my wife are forced to cover their hair, this is something I can't bear. Then I will have to leave Iraq. But Karam, a relative, sits nearby and shakes her head as Abu Yunus speaks. She says she can't go back. Her husband was killed by gunmen in 2008. And she has an 18-year-old son. She wants help to leave Iraq, so she doesn't lose him, too. Abu Yunus jumps in. We want Iraq to return to what it was. God willing, it will. We say our goodbyes, and then we go. But before we leave the village, we talk to Rinan Mansour, a teacher and member of the committee overseeing the displaced. He's worried about all the strangers, particularly the Muslims who've entered the village. After 9 p.m., we don't let anyone outside their homes, he says, and I drive around the village until 2 or 3 a.m. to make sure nothing's happening. He says the truth is, these people came, but we don't know who they are, and this is a dangerous time. Three schools are filled with Muslim refugees. An extended family of Turkmen Shias is living in a kindergarten. They're afraid they'll be killed by ISIS because of their sect. They've already heard of Shia Muslim neighbors and friends that were killed in Mosul. The other schools have Sunni Muslims, and the Christians were absorbed into homes in the village. Mansour says there was a lot of pressure to let the families in, but we don't know what to do with them now. And when a camp is available, they have to leave. Leila Fadel, NPR News.